comments in at 472-1111. Or text or WhatsApp 686-9999. If you're in the CNMI, please call 323-1113. Welcome everybody to Total Health.
Hello everyone. Hello Guam. It is so amazing to be here together again with more of Total Health. Yes, every time we try to deliver a new content, something interesting, something we haven't spoken about, as you know, this show is mainly live show. And today I have selected a very interesting topic to me, I hope will be interesting to you as well. It's called wilderness medicine. We rarely talk about jungle survival because, you know, we just don't hear about that stuff. Somehow we think that we either made to survive in the jungle or we will not survive in the jungle. What's caught my interest in wilderness medicine actually started back at the time that I arrived in Guam. That was more than 3 years ago. I came here as a new provider, and I was so fascinated in order, you know, to go and see all the places in Guam. I want to explore the whole island. It sounded so exotic to me. And just on the second week, I realized it's a dangerous place to be.
Yes, it is.
I went on a hike, and the hike was the Aguekov hike. Somebody will say it's just a very nice hike. You know, you're going kind of a down, very steep down until a very small, nice looking cove or bay. And it has this interesting rock formation, very, you know, rough, very edgy. Uh-huh. And I was enjoying it. I didn't know what to expect. It was one of my first hikes in Guam. So we climbed these rocks that were kind of standing out, protruding from the sea. And the sea was kind of very rough. I saw like the waves were coming over us and back. And we thought that like, that's something really, really cool. Wow, that's cool. We didn't know that this day, the surf was extremely high, that there was a warning not to go in the ocean. We had no idea. It was my first time seeing Aguekov. I thought that's a normal thing. And I was kind of enjoying those waves coming on top of the rock, over me and back, until one wave came with a forceful, you know, hit. It slammed me on the rocks. Uh-oh. I barely managed to I couldn't even get off. And I was like, wow, if another wave comes here, it's gonna destroy me. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get myself out. I was trying to get up. And then there was it. Another wave was coming. And as the other wave was coming, it smacked me so harsh on the rocks that I was falling off the rock. Uh-oh. I was seeing how I'm going to fall down and how I'm going to crack my skull. Mm-hmm. I was seeing it. I was like, you know, facing down. And I said, that's the end of me. God forgive all my sins. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of expecting to fall down and crack my skull. And at that moment, my leg got caught between, you know, there is a small crevice there. Mm-hmm. It just got caught there. And so I fell quite far backwards, downwards. And I hit the coral and the rocks. I had coral embedded in my flesh for weeks. It was so bad. It was so brutal. My clothes were all torn apart. My t-shirt, and there was a guy that he saw what was happening. He was holding a $5,000 camera. When he saw me falling down the cliff, he threw the camera to rescue me. This is how dangerous it was. And somehow I did not fall down. I got stuck in between, you know, the rock, and they pulled me out. Everybody was like so shocked. People screamed because they saw all that. Wow, it was really, really brutal. Mm. Everybody that had seen it, when they were retelling the story, they were crying because it was that dramatic. And I barely managed to get off, you know, climb up the steep. And then I went to the clinic. They had to suture quite a lot of my wounds. Some of them I wasn't so what can I say? I wasn't so compliant. I didn't take care of those wounds. I thought I'm invincible until that moment came, until I kind of came so close to death. And those wounds got very easily infected because we're living in a tropical environment. Even in the ocean, we do have bacteria. And in 2 days, I thought that they're okay. I don't need an antibiotic, but I was so bad that I was talking to a patient and I said to the patient, one moment, I had to come out. And then I went to urgent care and I said, I'm sorry, I feel I'm going to faint. And I fainted. Yeah, some of the wounds were infected. They had to start me on antibiotics. And at that moment, I realized, wow, I better have better surviving skills for Guam. I better know, Guam and the whole nature and all the dangers that Guam may hide. That wasn't enough. The next day, I didn't learn my lesson. The next day, I decided to go diving. It was my first diving experience in Guam. So I was very, very excited. I have been waiting for that moment for years. Got on a very nice dive, but the dive was shallow. And they told us, don't go shallow, just go keep on staying deep. Somehow, you know, they send us groups by two. It wasn't like a strict dive that you have to follow a guide. Just you go down and then you come up. It wasn't something who knows what. However, from the one reef to another reef and enjoying it, all of a sudden, I found myself on top of the reef. And then some waves started smashing me on top of the reef, just going down. And you know, with forceful power. And I realized I couldn't even see. There were so many waves, like crashing. You see bubbles around you. And I was like, wow, I better go into the deep. Because if I keep on staying on the surface, those waves are going to kind of, you know, crack me down. And at some point, I remember even like I came out on the surface so shallow that my head was above. And I saw those enormous waves coming with all force to kind of slam me on top of the reef. It was very hard. I put all my effort, all my adrenaline kicked in. So I had to swim very, very fast in order to go deeper, you know, in order to avoid the waves. And yes, and that night I realized I need some survival skills. If I continue doing the adventurous stuff I'm doing in Guam, I really need to know what are the dangers, what are the risks, and how I, you know, what I need to do in order to survive in Guam and still enjoy this island. So I hope today's talk will be interesting to you. That was my experience. But there are things we can learn. We haven't heard about anybody else apart from George Tweet and Shoichi Yokoi, the Japanese that survived here for 28 years.
Wow.
You know, we haven't heard anybody else apart from them surviving in the dangers in Guam. But I'm sure that it's a very difficult environment to survive a long time. I don't know how many days you think you'll survive in Guam, like if you're just placed in the jungle by yourself and you have nothing, no food, no friends, no communication. Do you think, how long do you think you're going to last?
4 hours.
Scott, I thought you're going to tell me 4 weeks. Well, I think I will survive 2 weeks, but, you know, that's still quite pushing it. You know, you have to face a lot of things, challenges, hot weather, you know, pouring rain, no food, or you need to know the food. You need to know, you know, the plants in Guam. Well, George Tweet survived 2 years and 7 months, and he had to hide. He had to find a way to survive. And of course, he did survive, thankfully, to the caring and compassionate and all-sacrificing Chamorro people. But Shoichi Yokoi, he survived 28 years hiding from anybody.
He hid from everybody?
Yes, wow. Because, you know, he was Japanese. Uh-huh. He was afraid. He didn't want to get into American hands or Chamorro hands. And he had to live under the ground, hide himself. He was his cave. I don't know if you have gone through his cave in the Talafofo area. It is close to a river, so he had to learn how to catch fish. He had to learn how to eat it. And he was doing most of that underground.
Wow. Well, that's our music. We're going into a short break and we're going to continue the story right after this.
Trustworthy, honest, dependable. These are qualities found in a great friend, or qualities you can discover right here. We hope you consider us friends, which is why you keep coming back. It's the support of friends like you that prove that trustworthy, honest, and dependable people help us support others in good and bad times. Lending a hand, it's what friends do. We're friends supported. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
This is Joyce Mossy, and thanks for listening to Total Health on Joy FM. We want to hear from you. Call in with your health-related questions at 472-1111. In Guam or in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Text or WhatsApp us at 686.
And we're back.
Yeah, I told it's my story about Yoko is pretty interesting, right?
Yes, it is.
I really admire this guy, and this is not the first time I'm hearing amazing stories about Japanese. Even when I was in the Philippines, in some of the islands, there were Japanese that survived there. It is very important for us to have this survival mode. Although it can be questionable because nowadays we're living in such a modern and difficult world that we kind of have learned how to survive more than how to live. You know, some people barely make it from a month to a month with their salary,
right.
You know, with those high costs that we are, most of the time, many of us are on survival mode in the modern society. We will talk about that in another talk, but today we will be trying to survive in the forest. Okay, one thing that everybody brings up when I start talking about wilderness medicine, and that are the snakes.
Yes, snakes.
Snakes. I know, unfortunately, Guam also has the snake, the brown tree snake, the Boiga regularis, and it wasn't meant to be here, but Guam is quite of a place that everybody stops on the way to other places. And I didn't know that planes, when they go to other islands, they check them for the snakes, and they have caught snakes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even in Hawaii, like Hawaiians are very particular. They don't want any snakes, and they really inspect airplanes from Guam. And yeah, it's not impossible. The snakes are everywhere. I wish we could find a way to really eliminate them, eradicate them. What do we know about this snake? We know it comes from Australia. Also, you can find them on the eastern Indonesia, Sulawesi, Papua New Guinea, Melanesia. Unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be here, but it came here, and as a result, many of our birds have disappeared. They also eat the shrews, that we don't have many, like moles on the ground. They eat whatever they can, you know, get hold of. And people ask that, they say, I really don't want to go into the jungle. I'm afraid. I don't want to see those snakes. The snakes, are they poisonous or not? And we know they are not venomous. You will not die. It's not enough to kill a human being. It has like a back fangs in the mouth, because this is how it eats a lizard. It's easier for them to eat lizard than having front ones. And if they bite you, of course, you need to watch the area for infection. You can get a cellulitis, but it's not gonna kill you. Even having said that, it's still an unpleasant thing to see in the forest. And I went camping once, and of course, I saw the snake. And they're there. They can grow up to 2 meters long. Wow. Not very pleasant, even if they are not venomous. Still, it's not a nice sight to see. So it's good to know what can repel snakes.
Yes.
Maybe you go camping and you don't want to wake up in the morning and see them surrounding your stuff. There's certain things that snakes are repelled from. They hate garlic and onion. So if you don't want to have snakes in your area, in your garden, you can plant onions and garlic. This is a smell that they do not like. It contains sulfonic acid, so that really repels snakes. Vinegar, they don't like vinegar. Maybe you can put some, you know, vinegar outside, you know, your tent. They really don't like that smell. It really deters them. Lime and lemon. somebody will say, oh, I'm not quite sure about that. They really don't like citrus. Even pigs don't like citrus. If you want to get rid of that, you can pour out some, you know, lemon juice in your garden. Likely they will not come. Or if you want to put something on yourself, that's a clove and cinnamon oil. Some essential oils you can apply on yourself. They will serve as a snake repellent.
Wow.
Yeah, those are cool things. You know, yes. going in Guam, just camping, it does require quite a lot of thought.
Right.
You know, what you can do in order really to have a pleasant experience.
I have a friend, when he goes camping and somebody says there are snakes, this is what he does. He gets in the middle, and all his buddies surround him in a circle. So if the snake come, they go to his buddies first, and he gets to get up and run away.
Well, what about if you're by yourself?
That's right.
This is why we are talking today, because it can happen. I have been lost in the jungle here in Guam several times. Have you?
No, I don't go into the jungle.
I don't know. Like, a few times I went on a hike and I just tried to see alternative ways. And all of a sudden I realized I'm by myself. There was nobody around
me. Oh, yeah.
And so I had to find my way out of the jungle by myself. It happened 3 or 4 times in Guam. And it's a very difficult terrain to really tread. And if you're not military trained to survive in very difficult conditions, you have to learn how to do that. And for that reason, I'm talking today. Let's talk a little bit about the things that we have in our ocean. Not many people know about how to deal with box jellyfish. We do have box jellyfish in Guam. It is not the same as the box jellyfish in Australia. It's a different one. We know the one in Australia. It's very, very poisonous. It's Chironix fleckeri, if I pronounce it well. The one that we have here is called Carib deer box jellyfish. They're different. But in Guam, you still can be quite badly stung. Mm-hmm. We have seen warnings, do not swim, box jellyfish advisory. And I have had patients that will come and they'll have this strange rash. And I could not, determine what this rash is coming from. They'll be like, oh, we were just swimming. Where did you swim? So and so. I'll check right away. Of course, there was a box jellyfish advisory. And some of them were just so bad that we really needed to hospitalize them. Uh-huh. So it is possible. What do you do when you get stung by a jellyfish? What do you know? Some people say pee on it. It doesn't work.
That's the number one remedy I heard.
Yeah, no, right. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Sometimes so that's a myth. It can cause even more, damage to the skin.
Myth busted.
So no, pee is not a solution. We have heard the other one, vinegar.
Vinegar.
So vinegar, it's not for everything. It's not for every, sting that you get from a sea animal. Mm-hmm. But for box jellyfish particularly, it's a good thing to use.
Oh,
if you have vinegar, yeah, vinegar would help you, wash it right away. If you see the tentacles, obviously scrape it, get it out of it, and then you can apply vinegar. In some cases, you will also need to be, seen by medical professionals.
Wow. That vinegar shouldn't be too hard to find when you're going to the beach and there's box jellyfish. Just look for the local barbecues. Right? And a group of people, they got vinegar.
Honestly, it's good practice to have vinegar in your car in Guam. Mm-hmm. You don't know. But vinegar is not for everything. For example, I'll tell you, vinegar is not if you're getting stung by anemone.
Anemone.
Yeah, anemone.
Anemone, the ones where the clownfish hide in?
Correct. Oh, yes. Right? That's a good way to say it.
Okay,
this is where the anemone viridis, it is called. It is where the beautiful clownfish are gone. But they are poisonous. You can... poisonous. They are not, they have burning sensation for humans that can worsen and sometimes might require weeks of treatment. So if you happen to just step on anemone or you don't know, you brushed over anemone. You need to get it out. You need to get the sting out. Some people use credit cards, whatever. Whatever you find, just, you know, just scrape it off. But this is one animal that vinegar is actually going to cause more harm. So,
okay.
You can't apply on it because they, the tentacles of the anemones, they contain cnidocyst. And it's like a nematocyst. It's like a special capsule that they have that they throw it on their enemies. And, you know, then you have to figure out how to get rid of it. People put baking soda or they pee on it or they put vinegar. But none of that works. Actually, what it was found, even fresh water, if you try to clean it with the fresh water, it releases more of those cysts, capsules into your skin. And literature has not found it to be really good. So therefore, you wash it with the salt water. As you're right there, just scrape it out with whatever you can find and then apply ice.
And that works?
Ice, yeah, wow. This is what we have found, that ice really works the most. But just applying like an ice pack for 15 minutes.
Okay.
On interval of 5 minutes, 3 minutes. If it is too cold, then 2 minutes rest, then 3 minutes again. Ice, 2 minutes rest for 15 minutes. It really works the best. And then just, you know, cover it up with a towel or with a cloth. And if it is very unpleasant, you can go and, you know, seek medical help.
Right.
But this is one of those things that we do not have to get vinegar, to put on vinegar. Or if you don't know, you don't remember the token, you put vinegar and it's getting worse, please go to the doctor.
Right.
Also, baking soda is not a solution, as many people prefer to do that. Another one, let's talk about stonefish.
Stonefish.
We know there in Guam, sting by a stonefish is kind of a quite rare. We don't see it. I have seen it in my practice only one time. But when I talk to Chamorro people, they're like, oh, I was stung by a stonefish. You know, they have all these type of stories. And I didn't know how to treat it as a provider. Mm-hmm. But as a diver, I know that if you get stung by a stonefish, first, you don't put your hands wherever you don't know or you're not certain. They might look like a stone and you might want to take a stone and move it. Be very careful. Be sure you're not going to touch a stonefish. They have those spikes on their back that if you just even Google it and see the spikes, they're like looking very scary, you know, and they do have venom. So now how long does it take from the time you get stung until, you know, you pass away? We don't know, but there are reports that even as minimum as 20 minutes, you know, in a young child. So what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, nowadays, we know a way to really right away react to it. There is an antidote for stonefish, but it's not readily available in Guam. I think the most available is in Australia, but we don't have it. So
nothing
you have
here.
Something so poisonous, so venomous in the water, you get stung and you don't have an antidote, what do you do? If you don't know, even if you're in the desert and you get bitten by a most poisonous snake, this is what you do. You get water, very hot water, as much as you can tolerate. We say 119 degrees of Fahrenheit, but if you don't have a way of measuring it, then it's the hottest the hottest water you can tolerate. Just, you know, put your hand there and, you know, don't move it too much because we don't want the poison to go up the circulation. It seems that when you put it in a hot water, it might even go further up. But what it does, the hot water denaturates the venom protein of the stonefish. It just breaks it down, and so it's not poisonous anymore. Of course, wash it if you can. Some people say with soap and water, but just the most important thing is hot water, super hot water. Try to immobilize the hand. Don't move it very much. It is very, very painful. Everybody should go to the ER or urgent care because it is very painful and we will require some medication, even IV medication, pain medication, or local block with lidocaine. Just visit the doctor. Don't say, oh, nothing went wrong with me.
Right.
whatever, just go to the doctor. Even if you're not sure, even if you think it's a scorpion fish, come and see a medical provider. Those are emergencies that, you know, we can encounter easily in Guam.
Yes, thank you for those words. Going into another break, we'll be right back. Call in your health questions. 2-671-686-9999. That's a text on WhatsApp. We're streaming live on Facebook. Go ahead and leave your comment in the comment section, and we'll get it answered by Elena. Listen live online, joyfmradio.net.
Even during tough economic times, people seek out entertainment. Each year, Americans spend billions on movies to escape the daily grind. But why leave home? With Joy FM, you always have a front row seat to peace and quiet, reflection and encouragement. And admission is always free. But consider this, if every listener who was able to donated the price of a movie ticket every month, it would ensure the show would go on. Support us online at joyfmradio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Total Health on Joy FM. Call in with your health-related questions to 472-1111 in Guam. If you live in the CNMI, we want to hear from you too. Call 323-1113 or text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, here's more Total Health.
And we're back.
We're back with more interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think we need to be warned about, you know, the dangers that we can encounter. We don't want to have our life cut short because of an event that
That's right.
can be prevented.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about things in the ocean.
Things in the ocean.
Right.
Another thing are the sand flea. The sand fleas. We know sometimes we go to the ocean, then we come and we're like scratching ourselves, so mm-hmm. itchy. We get those little lumps and bumps and they stay for weeks. Sometimes they can stay for months.
Right.
And it's not as bad in Guam as other places. For example, in New Zealand, I encountered so many of them.
So the sand fleas are in the ocean?
They're in the ocean.
So it's not in the sand?
They can be in the sand. Oh. They can come out on the sand. They're not fleas. They're not mites. You know, they're not insects, as we might say. They are like those little tiny crustaceous, you know, creatures. And they can be very, very unpleasant. They, of course, we are not their food.
Right.
They don't love human flesh. They don't wait on us. They would prefer to eat their plants, but occasionally they will jump on us. It's kind of a survival mechanism for them, and they don't know what's our business in their territory. So occasionally they can bite us, and it can be very bad. I didn't think it is as bad until I saw several people being really, really beaten so badly with red blisters on their feet.
And
and you know, that was that like the best conclusion that we came up with. What do you do?
That's right.
Don't keep on scratching it. Sometimes you might bruise it even. It can become like small blisters, and you can spread the allergens. Calamine lotion helps, some antihistamine if you have Benadryl cream. Worst case is some hydrocortisone cream. Of course, you can visit the doctor. Ice really helps. Ice decreases the inflammation in this area, and just be patient. Those bumps and lumps, they can stay, you know, for months. I until recently, I was still scratching from those that I encounter in New Zealand.
Wow. So when they bite you, They bite you, they dig into you, and then they jump off.
Yeah, they take some chunk from you,
right?
and then they're gone.
Oh.
You might not even see them. They're like very miniature, very small. Under microscope, they look very scary.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google that and see how they look under microscope. Yeah, little evil creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know what to do if we encounter them. And of course, the worst thing that can happen in the ocean are those rip currents. Listen for different advisory warnings. Don't go in the ocean. You don't think you're better, stronger. It's not going to happen to you. It might happen to other people. Guam, it's a dangerous place. As I was coming to Guam, many people were warning me like, hey, don't go to Ritidin. I almost died there. Hey, don't go to this beach. I almost died there. It is important for us to know. We have seen amazing swimmers that have lost their life in Guam. We can't underestimate our Pacific Ocean.
That's
even
right.
Though it's a Pacific, mm-hmm. It's not that Pacific. You know, it is a dangerous place. It have rip currents, and it can even drag you under, you know, caverns. Nobody will encounter you even after years. So that's like the biggest advisory, and especially when we have those flash flooding in different places like Talofofo, Inarajan, Asan, Marizo, Piti, Santa Rita, Umatic. Be careful. If you don't seem right, if nature is giving you one warning sign, don't stay there. Just, you know, find a safe place.
That's right. Get Guam, out of the water.
Get out of the water. I do not underestimate Guam. As adventurous as I am, I almost lost my life several times here. Well, another thing that it is really crucial for our survival, as we're speaking about water, is water.
Water.
Water. I mean, if you are somewhere in the jungle and you have no water, what do you do?
That's right. What do you do?
What do you do? Well, this is how, you know, some skills are coming into place. Rainwater. Collect some rainwater. If you have a jacket, whatever you have, I don't know what you might have at that moment. Try to collect some water. Rainwater is okay occasionally. Of course, we don't advise people to collect water all the time from the rain because it needs to be inspected for bacteria, for chemicals.
Rainwater.
But if you have nothing else to do and you're in the jungle, I believe, you know, George Tweed and Yokoi, they have used rainwater. You can drink it. Do we drink water from the, you know, from the streams?
Mm-hmm.
We do have some reports that says some of the water you can find different bacteria like gastrointestinal bacteria like Shigella, Campylobacter. But Legionella is one thing that we are concerned, and we have spoken about Legionella in the talk that we did about tuberculosis, I think. And for that reason, we don't drink it. Mm-hmm. We try to avoid it. But of course, dehydration is very deadly.
Right.
And so if you have no other way, you have to survive. You have to make it. If you can find coconut water, is your best way because coconut contains sterile water inside, and it has all the sugars and it has all the salts, so you don't stay dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know how to open a coconut,
that's right. So carry a machete with you when you go in the jungle.
Carry a machete and know how to use it.
Right.
I bought myself machete. I have two at home, and I learned how to use them, how to open coconut. It's not easy for a woman, but you know, it's a surviving skill to have. And yeah, make sure. Find some way to open those coconuts if you find them. We know that we do have diseases, you know, in Guam that have really unfortunately plagued our trees.
Mm-hmm.
The disease is called Tinangaha. Tinangaha, it is like a coconut disease.
A coconut disease.
It's like a coconut disease. It's like a viroid, you know.
And that's in the coconut?
That's in the coconut.
Oh.
Yeah, disease.
I saw this person open a coconut with her teeth.
Oh, no, not
Husky
that it is.
Coconut,
Not that it is in the coconut. It is. It plagues the tree itself.
Oh.
So it has like 10, 15 years to live.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the University of Guam, they're doing a lot of research on that to stop it. And you can't see it on young trees, but you can see it like mature trees. You can see the leaves like falling down. But still, the coconut, it's pretty safe to drink.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Coconut is vital for our survival on our island. In the past, I have listened many stories about different islands when they fight. If an island is small, you know, the enemy tribe would just go on their island and just cut all the coconuts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they will not, you know, fight people. They will not kill people. They just cut all the coconuts, take them away and leave. Because this is how crucial for the survival on an island a coconut water is.
Uh-oh. You know, when all the coconut trees is gone, the enemy attacked.
This is it. Yeah. Right? Coconut learned. Coconut is your best friend. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the best after water. And you have all your nutrition. You have, you know, even some small elements like micro elements that are very vital for our survival. And also learn our plants. Learn the plants that we have in Guam. I have a friend. She's a physician assistant. She knows many of the plants. And many times we would just go in the jungle. She would collect so much food. And she reduces her bill, you know, for food because she's like, Elena, look, that's amaranth. It's delicious. And, you know, she knows the plants. I also know it's not that we're just trying everything from the forest. but, you know, we know we can recognize the plants and you go home and you cook it. There's so many edible trees and bushes in Guam. It is important for us to know. If we know that, we will not be going to the supermarket and buying Western food.
Right.
We can have a loofah, for example, the angled loofah soup. It's delicious. And the loofahs are just growing in the jungle. They're dying. And then we have also the tangan tangan.
Mm-hmm.
If it is very, like, young, some of those bean pots
on the tree,
you know, they're very good. They have a lot
you
of vitamin C,
that?
But the young ones, yes. Very young, like when they're very, very soft, you can.
Wow.
You can.
Those are the ones that look like peas coming
Correct.
Out, those.
Yeah, but like they need to be very, very young.
Right.
To eat them, but it's a way you can survive if you are in the jungle and you stay there for years. I don't know, you never know.
That's right.
For example, when Japan was trying to become a very strong power in the Pacific, they warned Guam. They said, hey, it is possible that Japan may attack us, so now is the time to do some agriculture. This is from what historical literature I have read, and only a few families started doing agriculture.
Oh.
You never know. Yeah, we need to be prepared. We need to know how to survive. It pays off. Those
That's
skills
right.
certainly pays off. We do have a lot of things on the island. Learn which are your poisonous things. When you learn what are the poisonous things in Guam, then it will be easier for you to learn, you know, what are the edible ones. We do have the suicide fruit. I hope everybody can Google the suicide fruit. It's called Cerbera. Odolum. Just look how it looks like a pong pong, like ping pong, somebody will say, and stay away from that tree. There is also the fish poisoning tree, like those pots, they fall in the water and the fish around it die. And this is how we know it's a poisonous.
Oh, those. I know what you're talking
you
about.
Know what
yes.
I'm talking about. So try and avoid those. Know what your poisonous fruits, plants, and they learn the plants that you can survive and you can actually decrease your bill with. I really love when I explore new fruits and vegetables, and in Guam, everything grows. The velvet apple that you can see only certain places in Asia, I found it here. We also have those gooseberry, we will call them. They're very rich in vitamin C. You know what I'm talking about, like gooseberries, like snowberries looking like a very...
Gooseberries?
Very, yeah.
Gooseberries.
We have the gooseberries. We have the ground golden...
It's soft. Yes, it's...
Yeah,
green.
Ground cherries.
Okay. Yeah, we do have these. I've seen... Oh, you can eat these? These are the ones that look like the flowers that you can open up?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's soft outside.
Yeah, even the leaves. Even you can eat the leaves from noni tree.
It's called gooseberries, huh?
This is how... Yeah.
There's plenty Chamorro around
people
here.
People call them... Plenty. Plenty, but we're talking about survival.
Right.
Vitamin C is crucial for your survival. Mm-hmm. And if you're somewhere in the forest and in the jungle, you encounter those trees, fruits, you need to know. One
right.
time I decided to, the Alupang Island, you know what a small island it is?
Uh-huh.
You know, I decided to explore it, so I climbed it to the top. And on top of that, I found this custard apple that I have been trying to find, like, for years, that fruit. I was so happy. I recognized it right away. I said, wow, this is the fruit I have been trying to find for years. I one time even paid a lot of money to get it delivered. It never came. and you know, and I saw it on top of the Alupang, the little island. It was growing there, and the fruits were delicious. So learn your plants in Guam. It is important. We have all type of like ivy gourds. The loofah soup is amazing. Try it out. We have even beach morning glory on the beach. Some of those leaves, they grow and they can make a very nice soup. Breadfruit is the best.
Mm-hmm. I know what that is.
Omega 3. Like, this is the super fruit. Wow. Maybe I will stop here. Mm-hmm. Because I have too many plants to talk about.
We're heading into our last break. We got about 15... just about, maybe about 18 more minutes left. You can text and WhatsApp your question, 671-686-9999. We're streaming live on Facebook. Go ahead and leave your comment in the comment section below. We'll get it answered right away. You can listen live online, joyfmradio.net. And we had a question come in through WhatsApp. So right after the break, we will ask Elena.
It's the hot thing these days. Companies are selling beat-up stuff for lots of bucks. Places like Pottery Barn are selling picture frames that look like they've been beat up with a hammer. At a lot of other stores, people are paying a lot of money for anything that looks worn out and rustic. Furniture that is scratched and scarred is selling very well. Somehow people are seeing a lot of value in stuff that's been bumped, bruised, beaten, and worn. So, the stores are finally catching up with something the Bible has talked about for a long time. God sees a lot of value in people who've been bumped, bruised and battered with life. You ever feel like that? Maybe life has been rough on you. Maybe you've been rough on yourself. And if we took a look at your soul, it just might look like it's got a lot of miles on it. Maybe you thought that since you've been damaged and scarred that God's not going to give you a second look. But in fact, he's on the lookout for people just like you. He sees something significant and valuable inside of you. You give him time and you'll be seeing more value in yourself. Even if your soul has been knocked around the block a time or two. Family Friendly Joy FM.
And we're back with more Total Health. Give us a call with your medical questions. Number to call in Guam is 472-1111. If you're in the scene of mind, the number to call is 323-1113. Or you can text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. Now back to the program.
Interesting, Elena. I'm learning about these fruits that I see all the time.
I know. And, you know, many times I talk to my Chamorro friends, mm-hmm. and I was like, no, you can eat that. And they look at me and like, no, you can't eat that. I was like, no, try it. And I eat it in front of them. And they're like, wow, she didn't die. Like, one of them is the stinky passion fruit. It's delicious.
Stinky passion fruit.
Stinky passion fruit. Yeah. You can Google it. You can see it. It's a delicious fruit. And I love picking it when it is ready. You can find it in the jungle. Wow. You get, you know, your vitamins. See, you get even vitamin A from it. It is amazing. So learn your fruits. Yes. Enjoy the nature. Guam, you can grow so much. We also have a lot of like different type of taros and yams and lesser yam and potato yam. And those are very, very important. They have many benefits. They can even prevent some urinary tract infections. Like, I can talk a lot about plants, but the most important message from today is learn your plants. We have a lot of things we can utilize from the nature, and we don't have to buy expensive fruits imported from abroad when we have so much in the nature.
I'm going grocery shopping tonight.
In the jungle, right? Make sure you go with somebody that knows what it is. But even in the past, we had the sugar canes. We had, mm-hmm. you know, not a factory, but like in agate, we had areas that you can have that. And it is amazing. It's delicious. If you know how to make a sugar cane juice, mm-hmm. it's very good. And even though it's a sugar cane, if you eat it well, it's against diabetes.
Oh, wow.
We have everything in the mm-hmm. nature environment that we should benefit from it. Well, I'll stop with even ylang ylang you can eat. Just Google Guam edible fruits, edible plants, and you'll see a long list. You can click on everyone. You can learn. You can educate yourself and try experimenting, you know, those healthy and delicious foods. We did get a question about pterygium. What's the cause of it and if it can be removed? So pterygium, it's a membrane that we get on top of our conjunctiva. Can it be removed? Yeah, it can be removed surgically. Can it come again? It can, because most of the reasons of getting it is like exposure to sun. We also call it the surfer's disease. When you're all the time surfing, surfers, you know, are all the time on the sun, you can get it. But it's a benign. It doesn't cause problems unless it's really, really grown up. But you can see an eye doctor. It can be removed. There are many surgical, you know, methods of removing it. And it has been quite safe technique to remove those. If you have more questions, please feel free. Or we also have an eye clinic. You can consult yourself. But it's a quite common encounter in Guam because we do have plenty of sun right here. And of course, there are also other reasons for it. So back to our topic, because I don't have much time and I want to pack a lot of things. So I want to say a few things. I forgot to talk about pigs. Pigs can be quite a problem in Guam. Some people may like to know how to get rid of pigs. Not a simple solution. They don't like citric, but I know they like your mangoes in the garden. I have seen in New Zealand they have those alarms. They're like dogs, as if dog is barking. So pigs do not like loud noises. They don't like alarms. If you are walking in the forest, and one time I have been walking in the forest, and all of a sudden I saw those huge pigs walking, like running around me, I knew to play loud music, and they just left. They don't like loud noises. So if you want to startle a pig or you're afraid that they might attack you, play something on your phone, some loud, or scream, or they don't like alarms. Wow. They don't like those loud voices. This is what you can irritate them. Another thing, we do have ticks on the island, not as many, because we don't have many deers. I think we don't have many, but I could be wrong. But when you're going into the jungle, you might get a tick, and they usually, you know, the host is the deer. It is possible to get some of those diseases. You can get the spotted Rocky Mountain fever. You can get also Q fever. Theoretically, I haven't encountered in 3 years any of those symptoms. But if you find a tick, please make sure you come and be checked after that into a clinic. What do we do when we have ticks? Some people say you burn the end. other people will say, yes. Oh, you put a lot of oil. You put some insect repellent if you have it. Insect repellent, and it's like oily, and it will come out, it will ease, and then take it out. Make sure if the head does not remain there, but if it does, go and seek, you know, some help. This is about ticks. You never know. Everything can happen.
That's right.
It is in our last session. Wow, I wanted to say so many things. Wow, I think I'm very passionate about
the topic. We should have a part two.
We should have a part two, because there is so much to cover about, you know, surviving in Guam. If you remember something important, please let me know. Mm-hmm. But there is another thing that it is, because it's our last, the end of the show, and usually we talk about spiritual stuff and like surviving in the jungle. There are many good Bible verses that we can encourage each other if you are by yourself, lost in the forest, that God will protect you. There are so many Bible verses that it says, do not fear. You know, Scott, I have been lost in the jungle several times. The last time I got lost, even in New Zealand, and I should know better, but I like to go to routes that are less traveled. If it says, you know, this road is not so traveled, I will take it. I don't know why. This is my personality. Mm-hmm. And then when I go by myself and I get lost, then I was like, wow, here, if I die, nobody's going to know about it. And the last time I got completely lost, I had 3 phones with me. Guess
three.
What? Three phones. They didn't have connection.
Oh,
I had no even way to figure out how to get out of the, you know, the jungle, even though I had 3 phones with me and no connection,
no
nothing.
Connection.
The only connection I could have was God.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, when you walk on a path that's not so traveled, and we do have many of those trails in Guam, and you decide to go to the toilet, you're going out of the way, you can easily get lost. Please don't move too far away from the trail.
Right.
And so I went out of the trail, and I could not find my way back. My phones are not working. I have no other way of getting out of there. Nobody's passing this road because people don't usually go through this area. Mm-hmm. So I started praying. I said, God, you need to help me. I'm completely lost and there is no humanly speaking any way for me to get out of this jungle. Several times happened to me in Guam. One time happened in New Zealand. And, you know, you don't sit and just stay and wait for somebody to come. That might not happen unless you break your leg. That would be difficult. But, you know, I had to walk for like a few minutes and I had to jump some high bushes. And the moment I did that, I landed on a trail. Oh. I was so ecstatic. And I realized in that moment, God taught me a lesson. Even if the trail is very hard, I know I'm on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're on the right path, doesn't matter if it goes up and down and it's like very hard to walk through it, you're still on the right path that is going to lead you to the right place. And I do have this, you know, Bible verses that I keep on repeating when I'm in situations like that. One of them is 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 that says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.' I love when I'm weak because then I'm totally dependent on God and he always, always rescues me. But of course, I shouldn't tempt God. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, and persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I'm weak, then I am strong." In Romans 5:3-4, it says, "And not only that, but we all boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance." This is why it is important. Because if you're going through those hardships, that it will produce endurance. And endurance will produce a character. And character is the only thing we're going to take with us to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. And character Yes. produces hope. So those survival episodes are very vital for our spiritual survival. When you know that you can go through hardships and God delivers you from them, you can conquer the world. I just wanted to share one story because also many people are afraid of the tatamonas in the forest. That's one of the reasons that people don't go to the forest, because they are afraid of those things. But I was really intrigued by a missionary called Don Richardson. He got his wife and his 6 years old baby, and he went into the jungles of Papua New Guinea. That's not a joke. You know, Guam is very, very hard, but Papua New Guinea, with all the crocodiles and snakes and taipans and adlers and like the most venomous snakes you have on the planet, and then you have dengue, you have filariasis, all type of like diseases transmitted by mosquitoes. Oh, by the way, we don't have, you know, those particular mosquitoes here, although we have one type of mosquito that can transfer dengue occasionally. But we don't have chikungunya, we don't have Zika, and very occasionally we have cases reported with dengue. The last time was 2019, we had 3 cases. Oh, no, don't stop me. I just wanted to finish. I have 3 more minutes.
Keep on going.
Okay, I will go. And so it says that he went through this jungle and he felt like voices coming, like as if like tatamonas are talking to him, said, "I have no place for you here." And he said, "This place, it can be claimed as much as my, you know, native Canada, because every place can be God's place." I want to encourage you,
amen,
you know, not to fear.
Nice.
Not to fear anything. With God's help, we can survive. Learn some skills of survival. Learn your plans. Learn how to, you know, avoid unnecessary dangers and stay on the safe track.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this topic and show, Elena. You can tune in next week, Wednesday, for more Total Health.
Be sure to check with your doctors before making any sudden life changes discussed today. Total Health is brought to you in partnership with Guam Seventh-day Adventist Clinic. Where health is their mission. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thank you and Sijuas Maasi for listening to Total Health right here on Joy FM.